This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Welcome to another Wednesday with Vic and Em.
It's Vic and Em's Radio Gems.
Emily, no.
Come on, it's a comedy show.
All right, fine.
It's Vic and Em's Radio Gems. You're listening to Joy 94.9. It is Vic and Em back with you this Wednesday evening. Hello, Vicky Hanlon.
Hello, Emily Tresidder.
Hello. What a treat. What a delight.
I know. It's so nice to hear you.
Oh, it's nice to hear you too. We are obviously doing this via correspondence, as is the times right now.
Yes.
And obviously, our show each week would usually entail a wonderful comedic guest coming into the studio.
Getting them having a little chat, interview. It's a lot of fun.
Take a little picture with them, you know, that kind of thing. However, obviously, at the moment, that's not really an option.
No.
But we're very excited because Vicky and I actually have been working together for quite a number of years.
It's true.
So we have the ability to go into our archives and see some fun chats that we've had previously with wonderful comedians and bring them to you each Wednesday evening.
Do a little deep dive.
Do a little deep dive. A little sometimes deeper than other times.
Sometimes. I think for the first one, we might start with like a relatively recent chat just to keep it a bit fresher.
Funky fresh. Yes,
funky
exactly.
Fresh.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is a very big sizzle, Vic. I'm very excited. This week, we are going to be chatting to, I don't know if you've heard of him. We're going to be chatting to comedian Will Anderson.
Sure, just a small name in Australian comedy, just a tiny one.
Yeah. I mean, he only has one L in Will, so it is just a small name.
It's a very small name.
So we'll be chatting with him this week. I am a little bit about me as well, just because I love to do that.
Sure, sure.
I love Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And really? I don't want to say, I love him.
As your friend, I've never heard you mention this before.
I don't want to say too much, but this week we're going to be chatting about Dwayne The Rock Johnson with Will Anderson. So, oh my gosh.
And also, if you go, once you've heard this story, you can actually go to Will's Instagram page and see the photo that he references in this story. It's up there for everyone to see now.
So you'll have some physical evidence of this moment that we will be chatting about, which is very exciting.
Yes.
In other news, we do want to say Joy is obviously powering ahead with fantastic content. So do stay tuned and keep your radios tuned to Joy because every day we are providing amazing content. We have some other exciting news, don't we, Vic?
We do. We're actually going to be doing Tuesday breakfasts for the next few weeks, which is very exciting.
So, if you want to hear more of us, which I'm sure you do.
You can tune in yesterday or you can tune in for
future. Yeah, yesterday or for future Tuesdays for a little while, you'll be able to hear us in the AM, the early AM. We'll be doing our best to chat about stuff that is a little bit more lighthearted than the current climate of the world.
Yeah, I want to really save all of the newsy talk for the news and I want to bring just a little bit of joy into people's lives in the other times.
Classic you slipping in a joy on Joy 94.9. You get it. You get branding. So, yes. So, as we've mentioned, you're listening to Joy 94.9. It is Vic and Em. This week, we will be chatting to the fantastic comedian Will Anderson about a bunch of stuff, but I think most importantly about Dwayne The Rock Johnson, which is amazing.
Well, there's also a really good chat about comedy in general. I just want to point that out.
Yes, sorry. Yes, you'll also hear that as well. But in my mind, the most important
one
part
is The Rock.
Yes. So we have a huge show for you this evening. So stay tuned to that. And as we said, stay tuned to Joy because it is nonstop great content at the moment. So stick around for that. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Vic and Em.
Joy 94.9.
I reckon if you become huge in China, you're done. You're sorted.
That's
all
you
need. The population is so big that if you wouldn't even need to be famous anywhere else because like billions of people would know who you are.
We've had or will have this conversation on the podcast of who is the most famous person in the world. And I was like, well, maybe Trump at the moment, just because, you know, because maybe it was Obama, now it's Trump. Mm-hmm. But is it just some Chinese pop star and you just go by literally by numbers. Amount of numbers of people that know that person? Is it a...
Well, I would suggest it's going to be somebody who's famous in the Western world and in China.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to...
Jessie J.
It's not...
Well, the first person who comes to my mind, and I think that I'm just going to lock it in. Yeah. I'm just going to lock it in straight away.
All right. Okay.
The Rock.
You reckon?
I think The Rock is the most famous person in the world.
Yes.
You reckon it's The Rock?
Yep.
Pretty much my... I'm not going to say my entire show, but a big part of my show this year...
was dedicated to
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Really? Like,
yes.
She made the people's champion. The most electrifying man in sports and entertainment.
Yes. I made every audience that I had throughout festival chant the word Dwayne.
Now, so I've met Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Stop. I'm actually going to cry. Oh, my God.
And I met him back when he was mostly Dwayne The Rock,
yes.
Johnson.
Yes,
he just was started doing some movie acting, but right. he came out to Australia to
I'm
wrestle
dying.
Here in Melbourne. Like okay. They had a big WWE event. Mm-hmm. So I had been a massive fan of his from the wrestling. He was my favorite wrestler by far. And
I'm panicked.
Yeah. And so I was like, literally like, I don't think I've ever been more excited because I was still like, I was at Triple J, still kind of wasn't bored by the idea of meeting famous people.
Yeah, right.
Oh, by the way, if anybody wants to know, do you ever get bored of it? Oh, yeah, real quickly. Real quickly. You get real unimpressed real quickly. The amount of times the Prime Minister or someone's wandered into our radio studio and I'm just like, going, oh, this idiot.
Well,
what is this idiot doing? But genuinely excited to meet The Rock. My heart was beating out of my chest. And I was just, it was at the ABC radio studios in Melbourne in South Bank.
I've been there too. Basically, I've been there. Same place at the same time, basically.
So we flew down because we were broadcasting out of Sydney. We used to do the show on Triple J and we flew down for the wrestling event and to interview The Rock. So it was me and Adam Spencer and The Rock. What a beautiful. Likely trio of people.
I feel like radio is the only place where that meeting is happening.
And
Australian radio.
And the picture of it, like, because this is old school cameras and stuff, you know, like the picture of it, like I have the worst like what I thought was a cool young person's haircut, but essentially looked like everybody who thought they were in Blink-182 in
a period
of time.
Yeah.
Like bad tips and weird colours in my hair and all sorts of stuff.
And you couldn't take that twice, so
no,
that's what you're left with.
But he's done the whole, he's raised the eyebrow, like it's the old school Rock, God. You know, perfect. People's
can you
champion.
Smell?
Yeah, can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Which, that was by my the way, outro music for the show, just so you know.
Well, that used to be my intro music.
I did, oh, my gosh.
I did an entire season of Melbourne Comedy Festival with my intro music.
I love
was
that.
Yeah. So heart beating out of my chest. He was, and as everybody already knows about The Rock, but even way back then, he was, it's only rare in my life that I've met people who have a genuine show business charisma.
Right.
You could even tell back then you were like, this guy is something special.
Yeah.
There is just an aura around him that radio. And there's only a few people over the years that I've ever met who have that.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see them, they, like, I mean, like, I don't admire this person's work in the same way as I do with The Rock, but Will Smith's another person that I met. When you meet Will Smith, he just has this sort of energy that radiates out of him and, like, everybody's having a good time around him. And they're both very polite. And that was the thing, like, The Rock, he gave us probably 40 minutes of his time. He was super polite. He was – so anyway, this is the best bit yet.
Oh, my gosh. That's not even the – I'm already dead. Sorry if I can't talk for the rest of the pod. I've died.
So we go to the wrestling.
Okay.
And me and my
don't
friend –
don't say he shouts out to you. I'll die.
So me and my friends had bought like – down the front, there was these like – you could buy the $500 a chair or whatever, ridiculous. Or maybe it was even more than that actually, I think, remembering. But anyway, a stupid amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
The thing being that you also got the chair to take home,
oh,
like the most folding wrestling chairs.
Yeah, right.
And you are like literally $10 from Kmart.
Oh, yeah, but they were branded WWE.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay, you know. There you go.
Yeah.
And,
that makes them special.
So, but the best thing is also like that I don't think they do that anymore because like 1,000 people coming out of a wrestling event carrying chairs.
Yeah.
It's not actually a good occupation.
They are G'd up as
safety.
Well.
Yeah, right?
That was my bus seat.
And I think that was the one where it might have been Edge, I reckon. I think it was Edge. But anyway, they'd been in New South Wales the night before and then they're in Melbourne and he was trying to do a bit of heel work with the crowd. Great. And this is like one of my favorite moments. He goes, what did he say? I think he was trying to suck up to the people in Melbourne. I think was maybe what he was trying to do by burning the people in Sydney. I think that's what he was trying to achieve.
Yeah.
Yep.
But he goes, "You Melbourne's the best. You guys are heaps better than New Wales." And I was like, oh, so close. Oh. So close to burning that place, but not quite. So anyway, The Rock's wrestling.
Okay.
And we're probably like four rows from the front.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like me and Justin Hamilton and my friend Charlie Clawson, who I do my podcast with, and a couple other people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the middle of the ring and he looks over. And he spots us.
No.
And he winks at us.
Oh, my God. As if you didn't just pass out and die and that's the end of your life.
Well, the great thing is too, like, you know how ordinarily you probably wouldn't be appropriate to be able to react the way you want to react when The Rock winks at you in that situation.
Yes.
Like normally you'd be like, I'll be cool about this. Yeah. Like we're in a public place. But you're at the wrestling.
Yeah,
so you can do whatever you want. Totally appropriate for us to just be standing and like putting both hands in the air and just like celebrating.
I love that.
It was a safe space
to
celebrate in the way that we wanted to celebrate being recognized by The Rock.
I could not have asked for a better send off. That is one of the best stories I've ever heard. I love him so much. I got everyone to anyone that is listening to this that chanted the word Dwayne, how good a story was that?
Yeah.
No. I just made my maybe week.
The perfect mix of music, news and interviews. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Joy 94.9. You tuned into Vic and Em and we are in the midst of our chat with Will Anderson that we had a few months ago.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Your favorite moment of our podcast, I think?
Yeah, I think ever. My favorite moment ever.
Just in life.
Yes. Was when I realized that Will Anderson and I had something like so very important in common.
Yeah, the fact that you used it as your outro music and he used it as your intro, his intro music.
He used it as my intro music.
Your intro music.
That's how invested he is in my shows.
Well,
yeah, we had a little snap moment where we'd both used The Rock's intro/outro. Yeah. Really, really beautiful. And just like such a magical moment because I feel like obviously, you know, we spoke about in that moment that he doesn't really get starstruck anymore, but like that was
In fact, he said he gets bored of meeting famous people.
God damn it, Will. So it was like super nice to hear a story like that, that
he's genuinely excited about meeting someone.
Totally. And like we said before, if you want to see physical evidence of Will Anderson meeting The Rock, you can go to his Twitter and check out the picture many moons ago, black and white, very young.
I mean, I think the black and white might have been a stylistic choice based on the photo.
Oh.
I didn't think it was that long ago.
I genuinely thought it was that old.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
It was when I was in, like, high school. So, damn you. How dare you?
Anyway, you can go and see that. We have more to come re our chats with Will Anderson. So, stick around. Stay tuned to Joy 94.9. In the next little bit, we will be talking to Will about comedy.
Yeah, there's some really good comedy chats in here. Some very useful information if you want to start comedy, I think.
Mm-hmm.
There's some very poignant facts that I wholeheartedly, as someone who's run an open mic for the last few years, wholeheartedly agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much on board with everything that he says in this chat, so give it a listen.
Very exciting. As we said earlier in the show, we will be continuing to bring you really great comedy content 6:30 on Wednesdays, so feel free to tune in whenever you can. Obviously, we'll do our best to podcast these as well, so you'll have content to digest in the coming days, weeks, etc.
Absolutely.
And we will be chatting to each other on breakfast Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. For the next 6:30 till 9.
Couple of weeks. So
next few weeks, yep.
If you want to hear more of Vic and Em, you can tune in on Tuesday mornings for the next couple of weeks. That's very exciting. But for now, it's Vic and Em on Joy 94.9 chatting to Will Anderson.
Joy 94.9.
I want to speak quickly. We want to speak quickly about comedy, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
I have one quick question.
Please.
What are your aspirations in life?
Like in general?
Yeah. Like, do you have stuff that you're like shooting for now that you've pretty much achieved? I mean, you can buy 2 buckets of popcorn.
It's true.
What else can you do?
I'll try to give you an honest answer. I don't really know what the honest answer is. I always think that asking me now what I used to think is almost the most unreliable person you can ask. Because, right. You know, the older we get, the more we reframe our past through our modern day experiences.
Definitely.
And, you know, like it's very easy for me to now look back on things and reframe them in whatever way I want to reframe them in. So, like with that caveat, you know, like I would say that I think that I've achieved much more than I ever dreamed that I would have achieved. So when I first started out doing comedy in Melbourne, comedy wasn't really a thing.
Right.
That, like, it was still running away to join the circus. You know,
right.
We're talking
not
25
a career
years
that
ago.
You can go and join.
You know, the festival was only 4 or 5 years old when I started doing comedy. You know, it was more just gigs around town.
Yeah.
There wasn't people necessarily. I mean, there had been a few people have a radio job, a few people have a TV show, but it wasn't sort of that
career
thing now that people would get into and go, oh, well, I'll become a stand-up comedian because I've seen, you know, so-and-so do this and so-and-so do this.
Yeah.
And you get your radio job and you get your TV show and you do the gala and you blah, blah, blah. And there's this kind of sense of here's how you could progress through the industry and do what it is.
Yeah, there's almost a ladder now, even though you can't really.
Yeah, it's a weird ladder.
Yeah.
It's
but it moves sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, like,
it's a bit snakes and ladders, but but you're aware that there are ladders.
Yeah,
yes,
if
exactly.
you keep going, you're not necessarily sure where the ladders are going to be, but you know that there is a sense that you can progress
somewhere
through
to go.
It and go somewhere.
Yeah.
And even more so now that you can progress through it and go to a whole bunch of different places.
Sure.
Like it's not like, you know, the end goal now is a commercial TV show or a commercial radio show, because they're not really. Those things are, you know, becoming less and less relevant to the overall society. But but when I started, it wasn't any of that, to be honest. So it was really just running away to join the circus still. So when you talk about the idea of what were your ambitions in doing it, I mean, I had ambition of doing the comedy festival.
Mm.
I had an ambition of, you know, getting on the gala.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe going overseas. I reckon I probably wanted to go to Edinburgh or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that was kind of it. Like,
yeah,
you know, in regard to what my grand ambitions of, like, you know, being a comedian, you know, were at that point.
Do you think it was helpful to have that? Like, to just kind of be like, well, like, I don't really know where I can go, but
we'll just
I guess.
Keep doing
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. I'll just keep doing stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't get into comedy because of what I thought that I would get out of comedy.
Yeah.
I got into comedy because I got to a point in my life where I realized that it was the only thing that I could do.
Yeah.
You know, as in it was the only thing that was going to interest me and,
you
know, engage me. And, you know, I often say that comedians, there's a little part of you that you'll never necessarily acknowledge it out loud, but there's something about being a comedian is that you're signing up to a life of trying to master something that is unmasterable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what being a comedian is. Like, there are other jobs where if you do them for long enough and you dedicate yourself to it, you can literally master what it is and go, well, I can replicate this every time. I know how to do this now.
Yeah. Mm.
Whereas comedy is not that, you know, and often even when you do master a joke or a moment or your persona or whatever, comedy keeps moving on.
I was going to say this.
So if you step out for 5 years and come back and you're still doing it exactly as well as you were 5 years ago, sorry, you're now behind the pack because comedy moved on without you. So it's a constantly evolving art form. And so I think the same with aspirations. Your aspirations constantly evolve, right?
Yeah, totally.
So the minute you do things, I often say to people, the reason you start something doesn't have to be the reason you keep doing something. Right?
Yep. Yeah.
The things that I was interested in or thought I was interested in about comedy when I started are far and away not the things I'm interested in about comedy now. But there's a whole bunch of other things about comedy that I am interested in now that have kept me doing comedy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
Like those things that you could kind of list, go, you know, the gala or going to Edinburgh or, you know, get nominated for an award or getting some sort of job or whatever. None of those things are particularly satisfying.
Yeah.
However, some of the work you do in that's satisfying. You know, the reason I kept doing the festival is not because there's much more for me to kind of achieve in it in that sense, but but there's heaps more for me to achieve. Like,
yeah.
I feel like as a performer, you know, to continue evolving. And that's why I was really happy with this year's show in the end, because I felt like, oh, wow. Like the show taught me something about my comedy.
That's awesome.
That I hadn't previously unlocked.
Yeah, totally.
And so for me, that's where.
Well, that's really.
Do I have aspirations? Like, yeah, absolutely. That's my 100% aspiration, is to keep evolving.
Yeah, it's nice that can still happen after 20-ish years in comedy as well.
Well, and it surprises you
too,
like what it is.
But it'd be refreshing, I think, as well, to know that it's not like a stagnant art form and that you do have room to be like, wow, that's it.
Oh, no, I think you can always get better.
Totally.
Absolutely 100%.
You'd hope so. Otherwise, why would you keep going?
Yeah. But also that can be the thing that sometimes, like, you're like, why can't I just get
the best of,
the best of this and then just kind of be the best at this?
Yeah. Like, but I guess that
replicate
is.
Replicate the best of this.
Yeah.
This
yeah. would be good. But I guess that's kind of like the not fulfilling part of it, because you know that there's always room to grow.
Yeah.
Like there's no ceiling for you to hit.
Does that say something about comedians in general, their personality, or the comedians that stick at it at least? Is that like a.
I think
life in general is like that though. Fulfillment is such a hard thing to like.
Yeah.
Truly, what is true fulfillment? You know what I mean?
Oof.
Unless you choose to be fulfilled in the moment that you're in, then you're not going to feel it, because there's always something more.
Yeah, yes. I don't want to become too wall calendar, but if you're not,
I've done that.
But if you're not like satisfied with the journey,
then
the destination is never ever going to be rewarding enough. That's what I would say.
The amount of people that in the last 12 months of running my open mic room, the amount of people that have come to me and been like, oh, so how do I do this? Not like, how do I do an open mic? How do I become a comedian? Is there anyone here watching me? Is there anyone, like someone literally was like, oh, so who's here that can scout me? And I'm like, oh, buddy, no. Like, I mean.
But not even that, which is like, I think I would go a step further, because I mean, people ask me for advice all the time and I hesitate to give it, not out of. Like, I'll give some general advice, but because I think that everybody's journey is completely individual and different. But the best advice that I could give to people is, you're going to be shit for ages.
Yeah, for so long.
The people who, even when you think you're being good early on, like when you have those gigs that you nail, you will later look back and realize just how shit you were back then, even when you thought you were good.
Yeah.
So you don't want anyone to see you.
Yes.
While you're shit.
This is the.
That's training. That's pre-season.
Yeah.
You don't. The worst thing that could possibly happen in your first 100 gigs is there's someone in the room who wants to scout you for something. Because if you have a great gig at gig it's number true. 70.
Yeah.
And nail it, and they whack you on a TV show or whatever that you're not capable of doing, you'll get burnt more by that experience than you will by waiting another 6 months to get ready.
I looked at him as someone who got picked up very early.
Yeah.
And maybe it was, who knows? Not the best?
Well, I mean, I'm going to go down a different path now, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that I would always say to people, that's your time to make your mistakes.
Absolutely.
That's your time to not get locked into a persona.
Yeah.
That's your time to experiment with a whole bunch of ways of doing what it is you do.
Totally.
You might go, I'm a one-liner person, or I'm doing physical comedy, or I'm like, you know, this world now where you look at, you know, what Tom Walker's doing or what Debbie Lardner does, or well, a whole range of people are doing different things.
Mm.
But it isn't necessarily what they were doing.
No.
When they first started doing comedy.
Well, Tom Walker especially was a terrible stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very bad. I mean, I remember doing gigs with him in Sydney.
Yeah.
And now seeing his show now, I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So different.
Yeah.
But that's part of, like, imagine if he'd, like, had a couple of really good stand-up gigs. He's a handsome guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone chucks him into, you know. And this is, by the way, absolutely no respect to Tommy Little, who I admire greatly, but I could imagine somebody going, oh, he's a guy who could be a Tommy Little type, host these big commercial things. He's handsome. He's doing some stand-up, whatever. And that just would have been the wrong thing for – that's the right thing for Tommy to do, because he does a great job of doing that. But it would have been the wrong thing for Tom to do with what he is great at. So that idea that, no, just do every gig. Do every shitty gig. Learn everything that you can possibly do.
Yeah.
Like – if there's two people there, learn how that feels. If there's 10 people, but I had a guy message me the other day. He goes, I'm doing a lot of gigs in places where they didn't know there was going to be comedy on. How do I get the attention of people who weren't there for comedy? don't develop those skills.
No.
Don't ever – don't concentrate on developing skills. I said to him, mate, the best thing – no one in the world can do that.
No.
Like Robin Williams could come back from the grave and like pop into an RSL where somebody's trying to watch the footy and they still want to watch the footy.
You know what I mean? Absolutely.
You don't 100%. Need those skills.
Yeah.
You need the skills to get good enough as a comedian that you're not playing those gigs anymore.
Yes, exactly
but,
that.
But just use them as training, you know, and all that is training. And I still think to this day, it's all training. Like, you know, the amount of times that I will just go and do something, try something, see if it works. And you can get really locked into – once you become like an established performer, it can actually be really constrictive on you taking risks because your audience –
because everyone's expecting you to always be amazing.
And it's hard to try something, hard to get something wrong because then people will go, oh, yeah, I saw blah, 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 and that was shit.
Yeah.
You know, so – before people know who you are, try things.
Yeah.
Try everything. Yeah. Now, this is your great time to do good gigs, do shit gigs, try doing your material in completely different ways.
Yeah.
Work with other people. The stakes are low. This is all stuff that will be handy to you later.
And also the amount of people like open micers these days that put all of their sets up on YouTube.
Oh, stop it.
I want
to take it down. People send me links to them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I've got gala sets I don't want on YouTube.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing?
Not only, don't share it. Delete it. Don't share it.
Yeah, that's my advice. I've seen your clip and here's my advice. Delete that clip. Erase it from the internet. Yeah. Find Julian Assange. Get him to be able to hack in and erase all trace of it.
Yep.
The world's most uplifting radio station. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.